Welcome back to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. When the Fed considers raising interest rates, or should legislators ever mull a new climate policy, for that matter, when you choose what to do this weekend, there are computer models that can help you gauge the likely outcomes of those decisions. That hasn't been the case for those wrestling with the opioid epidemic, at least until now. But researchers at Stanford University have developed a computer model of the opioid epidemic that they hope can help point policymakers toward effective strategies. Allison Pitt is a PhD candidate in the Department of Management Science and Engineering at Stanford University, and she is lead author of the new study presenting the model and their initial results. Allison, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
How unusual is it to try to use a computer model to address a public health issue like addiction?
Well, it's not too uncommon to use computer models to address public health problems. However, addiction is tricky to model, and data necessary for instantiating a model can be hard to come by. And so that has made our model somewhat unique in that we've still gone for it.
Gathering that data, I understand, was your job and part of your graduate work. What kind of data did you need, and where did you find it?
We needed a lot of data. We needed data on the prevalence and incidence of addiction. We needed data as it relates to pain management, as we know that opioid prescription pills are typically prescribed for pain. And so we needed to know the prevalence and incidence of pain, both chronic and acute. We also needed to know mortality statistics as it relates to addiction. Additionally, data, as best we could find it, on the intervention's effectiveness. And the key challenge, really, in thinking about this is that there's no one right answer. This epidemic looks different geographically across the country. And so we were finding data from so many sources, but it doesn't necessarily all agree. And so trying to find ways to test the sensitivity of our model to changes in our parameters that we used the data to develop was key.
When you run your model, looking forward, say, 10, 20 years, what does the future of the opioid epidemic in this country look like?
So we were careful not to take our model out too far. We modeled only 5 to 10 years out, and the reason for this is a very dynamic, very quickly changing epidemic. And so we're not sure what the epidemic will look like just even a few years out. And so we even cautiously present our results for 5 and 10 years. However, looking out 10 years, it was disheartening to see that through all the combinations of interventions we tested, it was still going to take a lot more to see a really big dip in the death caused by this epidemic.
And what kinds of interventions did you consider?
We considered both interventions that are targeted toward treatment and mitigation of the negative impact of addiction, as well as interventions that essentially pull back on the quantity of prescription pills available. And both types of interventions are important. The former is important because this is how we reduce deadliness right now for those who are suffering from addiction.
So in that category, or we're talking about things like the availability of drugs to reverse overdoses, is that the kind of thing you're talking about in that category?
Yeah, absolutely. Naloxone, increasing treatment for those who are addicted, making medication-assisted treatment more available, interventions like those.
And then you said in the other category were interventions actually trying to look at
the interventions reducing the availability of prescription opioids. And so those would include, reducing prescribing, perhaps prescription monitoring program expansion, reformulating drugs to be less addictive. These kinds of policies essentially reduce the number of pills out there that can potentially fall into the wrong hands or become abused.
You note that there's no silver bullet that's going to solve this immediately, but you did kind of hone in on a set of policies that together might make a dent in the spread of addiction and the number of deaths caused by this epidemic. What are those three measures, and you know, what does the model tell us about their effectiveness?
So it was important as we're thinking about how to address this epidemic that we combine interventions from both categories. And so we looked at prescribing reduction in combination with the reformulation of pills to make them less addictive, as well as increasing investment in treatment and increasing the availability of naloxone. And so if we combine all of those things, when we looked out 10 years, we were seeing a roughly 10% reduction in the expected death toll, which is still, you know,
that's not as much
small
as one would hope.
That's true. Yes.
I mean, is that, do we know now from running this model the best that we could possibly do? Did you give this model free rein to say, consider all of the possibilities? Or were you giving it a constrained set of, you know, maybe five or six different policies, essentially sets of interventions, and saying, compare these five or six and see of these which one might work the best?
Yes, that is true. We did the we took the approach of selecting a few interventions at a time, as opposed to optimizing or attempting to optimize over the universe of, you know, 11 policies that we considered in all the potential combinations. And the reason is really more logistical. The technical requirements required to do that really weren't in place.
How do you actually go about ground truthing a model like this? I mean, can you run it from the past to the present to see if it actually is reflecting reality? How do you gain confidence in this computer model and what it's telling you about the potential future of this epidemic?
We did have a lot of uncertainty about parameters in the model, and we did not calibrate it to historic trends because the trends have changed so rapidly. And so instead, we took the approach of creating multiple potential models, if you will, of the current state that all produce seemingly plausible results. And then we tested each intervention across each of the 10 potential models. And that's what we were reporting in our paper, is the average or distribution of effect of interventions across multiple, 10 to be exact, different representations of the current state.
You said earlier that, you know, there's no one right answer. You've come up with one possible right answer: reducing prescriptions by 25%, increasing access to both naloxone and methadone treatment, and have a projection about the impact that that might have, about a 10% reduction in deaths over 10 years. Is this the end of the story, or do you see this model being used in more and different ways to try to help maybe craft different policy suites, you know, for different regions or to fit different situations?
This model could absolutely be extended for those purposes. It could also be used to test certain alterations, like, if you will, on interventions to make them more effective, particularly with respect to those that are reducing the supply of prescription pills. We need to find ways to make that less detrimental in the short term for individuals who are depending on prescription pills to feed their addiction, so that they are less likely to escalate to heroin use. And so I think there is potential to use this model to figure out in what ways can we target these interventions better so that they reduce harm without causing much additional harm.
Allison Pitt is a graduate student at Stanford University, soon to submit and defend her thesis. Allison, thanks for talking with us, and best of luck.
Thank you very much.
And that's our show. Join us next week for more Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Thanks for listening.
Living Lab Radio is produced by WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio in Boston. It's produced by me, Elsa Partan, and Heather Goldstone is executive producer. Funding for Living Lab Radio comes from the Candida Fund, investing in transformative leaders and ideas. Theme music by Stellwagen Symphonette.